shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much of love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
The Tennis Podcast with Scott Cooney and Mick Quinn on RSN 927.
Yes, welcome to the Tennis Podcast here on RSN 927 for Bang Bang, Phillip Bowl in the Middle Currumburra Hotel and Shanklin Cafe in Hawthorne East, 500 Stronger Road, Hawthorne East. As we say, good morning to the one and only Nick Quinn, tab.com.au. Isn't it quite incredible that we've finally got you on the Tennis Podcast?
And the team out at Hawthorne have done a great job getting me in the good books as well. I brought the milkshakes in on a Friday morning and Adam White, I tell you what, he drank that in world record time as well and gave it a 10 out of 10 review. So you can't get a better compliment than that. So hopefully we go as well as those milkshakes here today. But I'm up and about, Scotty, because Darren Parkin has been on the podcast each and every day and he's not on the stinger and I am. So a big hello and cop that to you, Darren.
We'll have to get on to Cozzy about that, Sean Cosgrove, if the price is right.
Very good. Pun. Now we're going to play a game to start the show, Scotty. I'm going to go rogue a little bit. I'm going to read the Jeepers. Players at the top of the men's and women's tournament winner market. And I just want a yes or no. Can they win the tournament?
Beautiful.
Medvedev.
Yes.
Zverev.
Yes.
Nadal.
No.
Sinner.
No.
Tsitsipas.
No.
Alcaraz.
Yeah. Smokey.
Monfils.
Smokey too. So the showman's on fire.
Rublev.
No.
So you think the final will be between Medvedev and Zverev with two smokies, Alcaraz and Monfils?
Absolutely, and I think they're in the same quarter too, those two, so you'll get the value on Monfils there. I know our very own Matty Nevitt's all over Alcaraz, and he's a big chance, but that'll be a ripper if they do meet pretty soon in the tournament. But I think Nadal obviously is a beneficiary of Djokovic not being there, but I still think he's a real level below those top two on the hard courts these days.
He has won an Australian Open. You're not factoring that in?
Well, just the one in 2009, and I know the Hornet had a go at me about this, the new CEO of RSN in Matty Nevitt, that I was discounting him too easily. Look, he's made a lot of finals here. And as I said, it's not so much about the record here. I just think, as opposed to clay and even grass, he's a little bit more susceptible on the hard courts anyway, I've always thought. And definitely at this stage of his career, but he'll probably prove me wrong.
The women's singles, Ash Barty.
Yes.
Naomi Osaka.
Yeah.
Simona Halep.
No.
Swiatek.
No.
Badoza.
Yep.
Azarenka.
No.
And then we've got Thorsen.
Don't think so.
Any others I'm not mentioning?
We were all over this girl a couple of years ago at the French Open. Anna Samova, the Russian. I know I said a sarking winner, but I think she's got a really dangerous match coming up today.
Okay, there we go. Well, hopefully Ash can get through that. But you think there's a couple of winning chances in both the men and the women, and maybe the market is maybe not as focused on those at the top end as it should be.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's generally, you know, I love my value, but a few of the value picks that I didn't mind, Muguruza and Kontaveit, they were bundled out yesterday, Quinny, so that was no good, but not for the bank balance. But obviously, of course, I've always been keen to sort of take on Ash on hard court. I don't think she's anywhere near the grass and the clay until now. She's put in the form of her life, hard court form of her life, and well and truly the one to beat, I think.
Okay, so we'll play a game. This is just a tipping competition, so there's no odds on offer. Just tip the winner of the men's and the women's. Who would you pick to win? No punting, just tip the winner.
Zverev and Barty.
Okay, Zverev and Barty. Now, we'll put the punting hat on. If you're going to spend $20 on the men's side and $20 on the women, and you can break it up however you want, how would you do that?
Yep, I would definitely multi those two, and you'd get, what, 450 times three? You're the stats man, star man, the mathematician.
So you just go bang, take the double. I was going to sort of slice it up a little bit, but
no, I could slice it up a little bit.
But that double comes to 1350, Zverev and Barty both winning.
Yeah, with the tab multiplier, which is still kicking.
Yes, even better in venue.
Yeah, exactly, as we heard on the RSN Breakfast Club this morning. I think that is a very nice double. Obviously, a lot of those threats that I thought were there have gone in the women's, so that makes me. I know there's always the linger, and a lot of people say, no one, the Aussie never wins it here, but I think everyone thinks Barty's far and away the one, and I tend to agree. She's just not. Sometimes she'll make, you know, a few errors maybe on the heart and that. Not too many. She's world number one, but she's just not missing at all.
Why were you only lukewarm on Osaka?
I think she's a little bit off at the moment. Obviously, both have had limited matches over the last few months, but Barty's hit the ground running. I'm not so sure about Osaka. She looked okay, but I'm pretty sure that I'd rather, as I said, look, Halep's in the second favourite there at tab.com.au now, so that's indicative probably, although they are in the same quarter. Of course, Osaka and Ash, so that makes it probably another reason why Halep's a bit shorter than Osaka, because she doesn't have to run into either of them for a while. But yeah, Halep's playing well, but she's another one that I think sometimes in hard you can take on more than the other surfaces. And I think she's a bit short, but she's playing very well. But Osaka, yeah, I think she is definitely one, even as soon as today against Anna Samova, I said that you can lay.
So you're suspecting that she's a bit vulnerable at the moment and maybe there's some betting opportunities because she takes up so much of the market.
That's right. And obviously, even if Osaka wins today, she'll meet Ash more than likely in that fourth round. And at the moment, I'd want to be on Barty for sure.
Men's side, what's your knock on Medvedev? Or not knock, but do you just think he's too short or you don't think he's playing as well as the market indicates or he's a bit vulnerable down under?
I think... Look, he's a superstar, but I think Zverev, I think it's his time, and and I think he's playing slightly better than Medvedev at the moment. Not much between them, but as I said, I can't understand why there's $2 difference in the market. They're very generous, tab.com.au. I think, look, I don't think Medvedev, he probably should be favourite, obviously, but I'm very surprised that Zverev's at 450 and Medvedev's 250. It should be closer than that.
Talk to me about Jannik Sinner. Very impressive last night against Steve Johnson, winning 6-2, 6-4, 6-3. Looks a player with a lot of upside, but one a lot of sports fans in Australia probably don't know much about.
That's right. Well, he's been highly spruced for a little while and the Italian sensation. In fact, to be honest, I think he's as good as he is. Sometimes I've watched him and thought he's been a little bit overhyped. He hasn't come on as quick as I thought he might have, even though, as you say, he's certainly not old. But, yeah, I think that, he's playing very well and he has heaps of talent and hopefully he's really starting to show that consistently.
He's only 20 years of age at the moment, and he's already got a quarter final at a Grand Slam. That was the 2020 French Open. He made the third round of the Australian Open already this year and potentially could top that quarter final. Of all the surfaces, where do you think he'll do his best work?
Yeah, probably on the clay, but yeah, no, he's pretty good on all courts. And yeah, as you say, he's only 20. And yeah, I remember watching him in the Next Gen finals a few years ago, and they were talking about him like the best thing since the baked eggs at Shanklin Cafe, mate. But obviously, look, sometimes, as I said, I think sometimes he can get a bit more out of himself. But no, he certainly hasn't put a foot wrong this season yet.
It does feel like a mini change in the guard in the tennis ranks, doesn't it? So it's exciting to see these young players come through that have potentially got more opportunity to win the majors than we've seen young players in the last decade, because they might not have to deal with Federer, Andy Murray, obviously, Nadal, and even Djokovic.
Absolutely, and that's a good segue, Quinny. I'll hit you with a question too. Loving the hard-hitting questions from you, Star Man. But is it a little bit tainted, the men's, because Djokovic isn't there? Now, I think Djokovic probably would have won the Australian Open. Obviously, Medvedev and also Zverev would have been huge chances. But is it a bit of a hollow victory for whoever wins it?
Was it a hollow victory when he was disqualified from the US Open for the winner?
A little bit. A little bit.
Yeah, I'd probably say a little bit. Yes, it is tainted, but I'm also surprised and impressed how quickly we've moved on.
Yeah.
As soon as the tournament started, he was out of sight, out of mind, and rightfully the focus has been those on the court. I think Kyrgios was great for generating a lot of interest on the on-court action. Medvedev, he was methodical in that victory over Kyrgios, and a lot of people that might have been watching Medvedev for only the first or second time. Not everyone is in love with tennis like you and I, Scotty, that watch it all year round. So I think that was good. But I think by the time the final comes around, hopefully Djokovic is a thought at the back of our heads and most of the focus can go on the worthy winner.
Now, you and the Hornet on RSN Central Dinner of the Week were not backing Kyrgios in that match, but you were pretty bullish. He was a bit overs, maybe at the $6 at tab.com.au. All right, more the Hornet.
Well, he didn't. He was right. He said he'd take a set off and he did.
Yeah,
so
it pretty much went to script in at the match.
Yeah, I always felt it was like an arm wrestle where Medvedev just had the ascendancy, but I don't know. Kyrgios might look back at a few missed opportunities. It was very entertaining, but that's what you get from Kyrgios. He's probably not focused and fit enough to take down a player of that magnitude, but he'll certainly give them a fight.
And that's the frustrating thing, isn't it? Watching that fourth set, you thought, gee, the fitness is the issue here.
Yeah, well, he doesn't train. Yeah. It's as simple as that. And you look at some of the training regimes that the top players in the world go through. Kyrgios, it's his choice. He doesn't do it, but he's only hurting himself.
The one and only Nick Quinn, tab.com.au here on the Tennis Podcast here on RSN 927. What have you made of the first 4 days, mate?
Well, Kyrgios has been the star attraction. He was fantastic in that victory in round one, and he was entertaining, at times brilliant, at times frustrating, everything that we get with Kyrgios against Medvedev. So he's been a real winner, despite the fact he's already out of the tournament. He only lasted till round two. I think he's probably more popular now than at the start of the tournament. So he's been great, and we needed something exciting and something to feel good about on the back of the Djokovic saga, and Kyrgios provided that. So well done to Nick Kyrgios, and thank you. I just wish he was still around come week two of the tournament, because he gets so many people watching and talking about the sport, and he is divisive, and I kind of like that as well at times. But I thought he conducted himself really well in those first two round matches, and hopefully not too many people got upset by him. Ash Barty's been terrific. We need her to keep winning. I think if the tournament was to lose Barty or Nadal in the first week, it would be a bit of a slog come the second week. So I don't think there's any player on the women's side the organisers are cheering harder than Barty, and on the men's side, Nadal, because Nadal is just so loved across the world, and I think that organisers are desperate for him to at least be there come the last four remaining players in the tournament. What about yourself, Scotty?
Yeah, no, it's been a great first few days, as you say, and yeah, a few upsets yesterday in the women's, as I said, unfortunately, for some of the flutters I've had, but obviously Muguruza Kontaveit out. Unfortunate to lose Emma Raducanu, obviously the US Open champion. Since then, not a lot's gone right, obviously a bit of controversy with the coaching situation after her triumph there at Flushing Meadows. Obviously had COVID recently and just hasn't been anywhere near. In those 2 weeks, she played the best tennis I've ever seen from a female. And if she played like that here, she would have been, if she caught fire, would have been a big worry. But obviously struggled with blisters last night and came out. Sabalenka's really struggling with the yips on serve and might be a good lay going forward still if she's still in the tournament. Although, if she gets out to a silly price and you think she can fix that, then she might be a real tournament threat. But in the men's too, unfortunate yesterday to lose the great Scott, Andy Murray, in straight sets, although congratulations to Taro Daniel there. You don't mind, too, as a chance in the men's, mate. Steph, Tsitsipas, you think he's okay chance?
I think he's a chance. I think he'd probably need to lift his game a little bit on what he's done so far, but if he can get to the second week and it's not too hot, I think he could go deep into the tournament. It's probably a good opportunity for one of those players that's been on the cusp to step up. Djokovic isn't here. Federer's not here. Nadal, as you've alluded to, potentially doesn't play his best tennis at Melbourne Park. Medvedev and Zverev are going to be hard to beat, but Zverev's never won a major. Medvedev's got two or one?
Just the one.
Just the one. So it's a good opportunity for someone to step up, and it could be Tsitsipas.
Do you think the market has it right? Tsitsipas, incidentally, and Sinner at $15. Nadal, sixes. Zverev to 450, as I said, and Medvedev, 250.
Well, the reason that Zverev and Nadal are such longer odds than the favourite in Medvedev is that they're on the same side of the draw. So everything goes to script, and Zverev takes on Nadal for a spot in the finals. So that's why those two are seemingly generous odds, and Medvedev is such a cramped favourite. And I think that makes sense. I think the only thing I'd say with confidence is Medvedev will be in the final.
Yeah, I think you're right there. And tab.com.au for those ripping markets. The women's, as you said, Barty 3s, Halep 6s, Osaka 7s, Swiatek 9s, and Badosa at 12s. You like Ash?
I don't mind the 230 Ash or Osaka winning the tournament.
Okay, yeah.
I think it's a little more conservative. Should Ash beat Osaka, I think she'll be at about $2.10, $2.20 maybe. And Osaka, she's a previous winner at the Australian Open. She plays well here. She gets the job done on the big stage. I would anticipate the final will be Halep versus the winner of Barty and Osaka.
There you go. And last but not least, Quinny, great to have you on the Tennis Podcast here on RSN 927 on day five of the Australian Open 2022 at Melbourne Park. A couple of great stories, wasn't there, yesterday for the Aussies? Made obviously quite a few wins, but the two real, we'll mention Stosur just tick too. But Madison Inglis winning again. And Chris O'Connell, not a household name in Australia, stunning Diego Schwartzman in straight.
And it's so great for these players. They've been aspiring for this stage their entire life. They get there and they win. And forget about just the prize money that is life-changing. These are the experiences they will never forget. In 40 years' time, they'll be at their tennis club and doing the sportsman's tour, talking about these victories, and rightfully so. So they deserve every bit of attention and praise they get.
Absolutely, and I'll chat more to Dash about Sammy in depth in just a moment, but what a singles career and doubles career she's had, and that'll continue. But obviously a singles career coming to an end yesterday. Beautiful tribute at Melbourne Park, Quinny, and I tell you what, no matter what anyone ever says about Sammy, they'll never take that Grand Slam off her.
No, exactly right. And it was such a memorable one as well. Unfortunately, her opponent's antics probably took a little more attention away from her, which was a shame at the time. But it's in the history books forever, and well done to her.
Good on you, Quinny. Thanks for the milkshake, mate, and we'll chat tomorrow.
Good on you, Scotty.
At TAB, we're on a mission to deliver punters confidence they're getting the best price. Introducing The Lock, a new feature on your TAB app. Just activate it when placing a tote win bet, and if the fixed odds starting price is better when your horse wins, we'll pay you the difference in cash. The Lock, new on your TAB app. Download today. TAB, long may we play.
Excludes WA residents, available once per day on eligible online bets. Max odds difference payout $100. T&Cs at website. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
The all-new rsn.net.au. Check it out today.
Welcome back to the Tennis Podcast here on RSN 927. Thanks to Shanklin Cafe in Hawthorne East. Have a milkshake, a coffee, enjoy a portobello mushroom or a chili prawn scramble, baked eggs as well. And check out the full menu at shanklincafe.com.au. Dan and, of course, Joe, Alex, Antonius, all the crew, we'll look after you here, of course, thanks to the Middle Hotel in Currumburra as well. And check out the website there at currumburrahotel.com.au. Fisher Lease and all the crew will look after you. And Bang Bang in Phillip Island, Kate Willemeyer there as well. Bangbangphillipisland.com.au. Check it all out. And, of course, Pat Ebony and all the crew will look after you too. And, of course, great to have Nick Quinn on board this morning as well. Quinny hijacking the podcast, but we've got a sense of normality again now. Our very own Dash and Darren Parkin joins us here on RSN 927. And just before we get to Dash, we'll have a listen to Sammy.
Oh, I've done more than I ever thought was possible. I dreamed of winning a Grand Slam and, you know, doing close to the things I did. So to do what I've done as, you know, dreamy as a little kid, I think is phenomenal. So I couldn't have asked for any more. Yeah, I've had many great moments here in Australia and around the world. So, yeah, it's been amazing.
Yes, Samantha Stosur, thanks to Channel 9. Of course, her singles career coming to an end, bowing out to Pavlyuchenkova, 6-2, 6-2. But Sammy said there, Dash, as we say good morning to you, what an amazing journey it's been.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of fitting, she's obviously played a lot of doubles with Pavlyuchenkova in the past, and they're quite close. That, you know, if your career is to come to an end, you probably wouldn't mind it being against somebody that you are friends with. And Pav's obviously had an excellent career, but certainly an excellent 12 months. Obviously made the final at the French last year and, you know, enjoying just about career best form. She's ranked, I think, 11th in the world. But, yeah, for Sam, it was a good result for her to get a victory in her last singles tournament. She's been an outstanding player. I know a lot of people, you know, who don't watch tennis all year might look at her Australian results historically and you know, perhaps don't get a full picture as to what she's achieved. But, you know, she was ranked 4 in the world, won 9 titles. She won a US Open against arguably the best player of all time in her backyard. Obviously, she completely demolished Serena in that US Open final in 2011 when Serena was right at the height of her powers. So she earned her title in the best possible way by going there and taking it off the best player that she could possibly compete against. She made a final of the French. She's won 6 or 7 doubles titles. She'll obviously keep going in that discipline. You look at what Ash is doing now as, you know, our best player at the moment, but Sam has paved the way. So yeah, she deserves all the praise that she gets. She's had a wonderful and often maligned career, I would say.
Absolutely, and who could ever forget that 2011, of course, US Open final at Flushing Meadows, as you said, against Serena on the 10-year anniversary of 9/11, obviously, and just to watch Sammy that day, obviously, proved the critics wrong, and yeah, exactly, it has been a bit of a fledgling career over the journey, but an amazing human being, and they'll never take that Grand Slam off her.
No, exactly right. And absolutely smashed Serena in that final. And you're right. I mean, the crowd was up and about. There were issues between obviously Serena and you know linesmen and umpires, etc. And she held her nerve and just played superbly in that match and through that tournament. And you know, and it wasn't a flash in the pan. I think she made two other semis at the US Open. She's made at least the semis four times at the French. So she's had a really good sustained period. Certainly from 2008 to 2012, she was a regular feature deep in slams. And yeah, she should be very proud, obviously, from her journey from Queensland. I think she, from what I can understand, she used to have a bit to do with the Riewoldt family, a bit of a crossover in the footy back when she was younger. But she's left a good legacy, and certainly players like Ash, as much as they've paved their own path, there is certainly an element of that road that's been paved by Sam.
Absolutely, and a fitting tribute, of course, yesterday after that match, and of course, a huge day four there at Melbourne Park. Of course, our other girl in action yesterday, Dash, continued on her merry way. She's having a ripping time of it at the Australian Open 2022. Obviously, won her first Grand Slam match a couple of days ago and backed it up with a three-set win over Baptiste, I speak of our very own Madison Inglis.
Yeah, she was excellent. Started really well. She had the better of the first set. Just couldn't quite close it out until late. She had a lot of chances and then eventually sort of knocked that one over in a tie break. She then got swept aside pretty comfortably in the second set and then fell two love down in the third. She lost sort of 8 out of 9 games, and it looked like perhaps the momentum was going away from her, but she turned it completely on its head. She won 6 games in a row in about 15 minutes and just dominated the end of the contest and swept her way through to the third round. She'll play Kai Kanepi now, which is clearly an awkward matchup, but at the same time, not absolutely impossible. Kanepi's started very well this year and has obviously beaten some good players along the way. But yeah, Madison entered having not won a match at Grand Slam level, has now won 2 and gets herself into a third round. And it should really set up her year, and she should be pretty happy, certainly with her serving level. And a really good result that started the day. What was a pretty pleasing day for Australia.
Yeah, it was great to see Maddie get the job done again, and great to see, as you say, a couple of Aussie blokes get up as well, and pretty much going to script, but Kyrgios putting up a bit of a fight there against Medvedev, losing in 4, which we'll get to in just a tick, but just in the women's, mate, in general, yesterday at Melbourne Park, RSN's very own Dash and Darren Parkin here on RSN 927, massive day 5 ahead, we'll get to soon as well, but we saw a few upsets, Dash. Of course, Cornet stunning Muguruza 6-3, 6-3, not good for my futures tab bets there, as was Kontaveit exiting 2, getting bundled out at pretty much the same time, mate. It was a devastating hour or two. Torsen there, stunning Kontaveit 6-2, 6-4. Sabalenka and Halep also through, but Sabalenka still with the serving yips, but 1-3 against Wang. And, of course, Emma Raducanu struggling with blisters there, but pretty much summing up her time since the US Open, lost to Kovinic there 6-4, 4-6, 6-3 last night.
Yeah, it's a fair summary of the day. I mean, Torsen, we spoke about her yesterday as a star on the rise, the teenager from Denmark. She won the juniors here in 2019. Kontaveit just probably has to translate, you know, really positive tour results into slam results, which she obviously hasn't quite done yet. That was an upset, but not a ridiculous one. Cornet, you know, has had an excellent career, but certainly an excellent 6 months or so. Again, that's not a stunning result. Muguruza had looked pretty good. Swiatek got through comfortably, and she's looking pretty dangerous. Danielle Collins, who's been a semi-finalist here in the past, she had a nice win over Conger in straight sets. Vondrousova, who's another player to keep an eye on, had a very good win as well. Sarana Kostea, good record in Australia too. Elise Mertens getting through. We spoke about Pavlyuchenkova. Tamara Zidanec, who had that good French Open last year, beat Heather Watson. Kasatkina getting through. We spoke about Kanepi. Rybakina having to withdraw, unfortunately, battling through some injuries. So I think that's the second, possibly third withdrawal, I think, on the women's side of the draw. Simona Halep, probably not ideal for her to get on court at about 11:30, but made pretty short work of it with a straight sets win in about an hour. So she at least would have got off reasonably quickly. Raducanu, as you say, probably her and Fernandez, who played in that US Open final, just probably finding the backup a little tricky at this point, but certainly got a pretty bright future. Raducanu's only played 3 slam events, Wimbledon, the US Open, and this one, and she's won one of them, so certainly you'd be pretty happy with that start to the journey for her. But and Sabalenka, as you say, she's gonna have her problems if she doesn't obviously sort out that serving business. She dropped the first set 6-1. it'll be hard to see her progressing too deep unless she fixes that.
And we'll get to that amazing winner, Chris O'Connell, there against Diego Schwartzman. 7-6, 6-4, 6-4 there, about $6. You were bullish about that too, Dash, at tab.com.au today. So well done. And of course, the Demon, as you say too, accounting for a Majorak there. I think you pronounce it better than me. 6-4, 6-4, 6-2. But just first, mate, of course, the big story last night and the popcorn match, so to speak, even though obviously Medvedev was the pretty heavy favourite there at tab.com.au, and rightly so. And as such, outlasted Kyrgios, 7-6, 6-4, 4-6, 6-2. I'll ask you about that crazy suing or booing that's going on, mate. It's just embarrassing, isn't it? But in just a moment. But what did you make of the match? Obviously, Kyrgios came to play, but as we always say, the fitness really does sort of count against him towards the end of those matches.
Yeah, it does. And look, he finished last season pretty early. He had COVID a couple of weeks ago, so he hasn't had the ideal prep. He would have played Sydney and one of the Melbourne events in the lead-up, but he couldn't do that, which is not ideal and certainly clearly out of his hands in that sense. But he probably got what you expected out of this. Medvedev is the, you know, the highest remaining seed in the tournament and arguably the best player, you know, here in the absence of Novak Djokovic. He was finalist last year, won the US Open. Nick Kyrgios obviously serves magnificently well. He's got a lot of weapons, and as a result, he was going to take sets deep. Clearly, in that you thought there'd be at least one tiebreak. That came early. Medvedev squeezed out a break late in the second to go up 2 sets to love, and then Nick turned the game with an inspired third set, played some great tennis. And the key moment for Nick was in the very first service game in the fourth set when Medvedev, I think it was 30-40. And
Kyrgios, had to win that game.
Yeah, Kyrgios missed a pretty straightforward forehand, he sprayed it wide when he had open court. If he makes that, he breaks, and you know, he's up and running at that point. And as soon as he didn't do that, you kind of sensed that would be the momentum stopper, and it proved to be. But I think Kyrgios played well, and I think Medvedev, you know, is just a level above at this point in time. But Nick, it's just another reminder of what he's capable of. He played probably the best player in the world off no prep and took it right up to him. So, it's probably what we anticipated. But yeah, Medvedev, I think, you know, that suing, it sounds a lot like booing, and a lot of it probably was booing. It's not a great look. It was a great atmosphere, but not a great look. And it does sort of certainly cross the line into being a bit disrespectful. But I think it was an entertaining contest.
Absolutely. And yeah, I think Medvedev said after the match that, and we might hear it a bit later, that it just shows the people doing it have low IQs, I think. It's obviously not just been that match, and it might not even be booing, but it sounds horrendous.
Yeah, it does. It does. And it sounds too much like booing, I guess. And I don't understand what that crossover is between, you know, Ronaldo goal celebrations and the Australian Open. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But, whether it stops, we'll wait and see. I know it irked Andy Murray a bit the other day as well.
So on to the times, Dash. We'll look at the futures markets. Obviously, with Medvedev, the favourite there at tab.com.au on the men's side of things. Barty, the favourite in the women's very soon. But as I said, we saw Alex Demon, our account for his opponent, and looking pretty good at the moment is the Demon in straight sets there. But the big news was our very own Chris O'Connell stunning Diego Schwartzman in straight. And I tell you what, he was always on top, wasn't he, Dash? And plays pretty well here in Australia, but obviously not a household name for Australians. And it was a big win for the Aussie.
Yeah, he's a great story, Chris. He's had a lot of injuries over the journey. There were periods where he was trying to work his way back. He was working on cruise ships and doing stuff like that, and a fair way away from the sport. But, you know, he won a match at the US, was his breakthrough a couple of years ago. He won his first round match at the Australian Open last year. He's missed about 5 months with injury last year. He had an ankle issue early in the year. Then he had osteitis pubis, which is that groin condition, later in the year. Then he came back and got COVID, which sort of put him on his backside for a while as well. Getting a run at it now, and obviously a first third round appearance. He'll play Cressy, the big serving American, who's basically the polar opposite to Diego Schwartzman. Schwartzman 170 centimetres, Cressy's 199, I think. So a bit of a difference. O'Connell's going to have to serve going to have to return very, very well. But I thought he was terrific yesterday. He was always in front and got the break early in the third. And I know Schwartzman broke back, but then O'Connell broke him to love. So he showed great maturity in winning his way through. And, it's a really good story. You'd have to give him a chance against Cressy. He's had a good year. Obviously played Nadal in a final in Melbourne last week. And the other one you mentioned, Demonor, who's, you know, this is his third trip to the third round at the Australian Open. He had a tough finish to last year. Again, COVID and various other things. His ranking dropped into the 40s, but he's clearly a better player than that and dominated his match yesterday. And, you know, he's a good chance, I would think, of, you know, taking at least another step at the Australian Open, particularly with that form he's in at the moment.
John Harrison's very own Dash and Darren Parkin here on the Tennis Podcast. On RSN 927, before we look at today's action at Melbourne Park, big day five ahead, and also those futures markets for the men's and women's singles at Australian Open 2022 at tab.com.au. What else stood out to you, mate, in the men's yesterday? Obviously, Taylor Fritz winning that All-American affair against Francis Tiafoe in straight. We saw Batista Agu pummel Cole Schreiber 6-1, 6-love, 6-3. Olga Aliassime defeat Davidovich Fokina in four, well, and it was all tiebreaks, I noticed there as well. Tsitsipas surviving a slight scare versus Baez, 7-6, 6-7, 6-3, 6-4. Of course, Sinner too strong for Steve Johnson of the States, 6-2, 6-4, 6-3. And a big one, although probably the heat and a bit of tennis lately catching up with the great Scott, but Taro Daniel upsetting Andy Murray, 6-4, 6-4, 6-4.
Yeah, and Benoit Paire, who's a bit flamboyant, beating Grigor Dimitrov in
yeah.
as well. Was an upset, certainly, I would think.
He can play, though, can't he, Pear?
He can, yeah. He's certainly temperamental, but he can play. Bayes had a few injury issues emerge in that Tsitsipas match and sort of dropped his level. Gasquet was forced to retire after losing 10 games in a row against Van der Zandschulp. Sinner, yeah, pretty strong performance from the Italian. Yeah, Felix Auger-Aliassime, that was basically no one could get into the other player's serve until midway through the fourth set. Fokina actually got a break and then Felix broke back. That were the only breaks of the match and four tie breaks in that. Probably Fritz Tiafoe, I thought that might have, you know, gone longer than a straight set's result. Pablo Andujar, I think he's got Demonor next. That was a four set win over Molcan. Daniel Evans getting a walkover against Rindanets, who had a wrist issue, I believe. Rublev looked pretty good. Marin Cilic was well on top, but then dropped the third set, but recovered to win that in four. So all fairly straightforward. Taro Daniel probably straight sets over Murray, as you say, a bit of a surprise. But, yeah, Andy maybe feeling the pinch of a deep run at Sydney and then a five-setter a couple of days ago.
What do you like today, mate? Any value and any popcorn matches? Because, yes, we've got an exciting day to look forward to with the likes of Rafa and Ash in action.
Keen to see how Monfils carries on what's been an outstanding start to the season. The Alcaraz-Berrettini match is an interesting one. Berrettini hasn't been in the best form to start the year, but he's finding ways to win, and he's looked a little better as each match has passed. But Alcaraz in outstanding touch, but perhaps a bit of value in Berrettini in that match. Apelka, the big serving American, against Shapovalov. A quarter against Carino Busta. Quarter quite fortunate to get through his match the other day. That'll be interesting. Manarino, can he keep his run going against last year's fairy tale in Karatsev? Khachanov, you know, has he found his range from a couple of years ago? He's got Rafa, so that'll be an intriguing matchup there as well. On the women's side, I'm certainly interested in Krejcikova-Ostapenko, a couple of French Open champions there as well. Anna Samova-Osaka with the winner to play the winner of Barty-Georgi. So they're two really fascinating night matches. I mean, Barty, that's not a sitter for her against Georgi. She should probably get through, but not a sitter. And Osaka, Anna Samova is a really fascinating game. Anna Samova really finding that range again. And probably Azarenka, Svitolina, Azarenka, two-time winner of this tournament. It's interesting. Svitolina is a very, very, very strong outsider in that match. I think Azarenka deserves to be favourite, but I'm not sure she should be, you know, miles ahead as she is at the moment. So if you were looking at value, maybe Svitolina offers a bit there in a match that's a bit closer to 50-50 than that would suggest.
Sounds like you're entertaining a bit of a Svitolina-Berrettini double there at tab.com.au, Dash with the multiplier. Svitolina 330 and Berrettini at 235.
Yeah, I think you could certainly do worse than that. You know, I can understand why they might be slight outsiders, but only slight. I think it's probably not quite reflective of their chances.
And, yeah, I agree on Anna Samova. I think she's a little bit over there at the 330. I know Osaka won't be an easy beat, obviously, but I could certainly have a think about it, that's for sure. I just think Osaka probably a little bit vulnerable at the moment, and I think that might be the way to go. But, of course, speaking of the women's, mate, tab.com.au, we've got the market there, and Barty well and truly the one to beat, I think, $3. I actually noticed, too, that Halep's into second favourite there, $6. Asaka, $7, of course, on the same quarter as Barty, so that's why someone like Halep would be into so short if they're fancying them, because Barty obviously could knock out Asaka in just a couple of rounds, although obviously it could go the other way. Swiatek, $9, Bedosa, $12, and longer odds the rest.
Yeah, I could have Halep starting to find her range. I mean, we've got to remember she, you know, has had a claim of being the best player in the world at times in the last few years. You know, she's won a couple of slams, made multiple finals. So, yeah, it's, and then you look at some of those players like Azarenka maybe getting their range again if she gets through today, which I say is not as easy as perhaps they're suggesting it. And whether someone like Sakari offers any value if she can build some momentum, but certainly certainly a lot of chances.
Last but not least, Ash, Medvedev in the men's, still 250 favourite, tab.com.au. Zverev 450, Nadal 6s. I still can't believe the difference between the top two in the market. And, yeah, I reckon if you were going to have a flutter there, you'd be getting on Sasha.
Yeah, I think so. He's got Albot today, who I think he'll get through fairly comfortably. And, yeah, looks in a pretty good rhythm at the moment. It was strong the other day. So, yeah, again, I think that's probably closer to an even push between those two.
Good on you, Dash, and I know someone in our very own Nick Quinn, of course, still bouncing around the studios, Dash, because he's been backing as if Djokovic wasn't going to be here for months. So he's going to be able to buy RSN very soon, and on if one of those couple at the top of the market win, mate. But of course, he's bet against his lookalike there with the hair, Djokovic, Quinny.
He's always been ahead of the game, Quinny. So I'm not surprised. He's always one step ahead of the rest of us.
Good on you, Dash. Look forward to chatting tomorrow, mate. Enjoy today.
No worries.
The all-new Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. Know the beauty of having a wild one with an all-new turbocharged engine. Bred to be fearless with a strikingly sculpted exterior, soft touch leather interior, and a kingdom worth of Kia boot space. Unleash the beast. Explore the beauty with the redesigned Kia Sportage. For more info, visit kia.com.au.
Kia, movement that inspires.
rsn.net.au, your home of tips, news and racing views.
Welcome back to the Tennis Podcast here on RSN 927. Scott Cooney with you. What a massive podcast it's been. Not only the one only dashing Darren Parker, but also Nick Quinn, the mighty Quinn. tab.com.au as well, and what a milkshake it was too from Shanklin Cafe in Hawthorne East, and just on Taronga Road there, of course, 500 Taronga Road in Hawthorne East, and what better way to start your day, not just with a milkshake, but with a coffee, brunch, even lunch on your way to the tennis. Open every day, 6:30 to 3 p.m. and just 10 minutes from Melbourne Park. I know I'll be heading there before going to the Australian Open 2022 there at Melbourne Park today. We're also here thanks to the Middle Currumburra Hotel in Currumburra. Of course, Fish, Elise and all the crew will look after you there. And I tell you what, Australia Day, you got to go there because the times are playing. They are an unbelievable band and the new deck there is incredible. As you heard the other day, what a place for not just the Sunday sesh, but every day. Matty Lloyd there with a few bevvies and a ripping feed as well. And the menu, obviously, lunch all day from 12 p.m. and it's open from 9 a.m. till 1 a.m. every day of the week there. The Middle Hotel in Currumburra. And Bang Bang, Phillip Island as well. Bangbangphillipisland.com.au. Amazing place there in Cape Woolamai. And check out the freshly shucked oysters. They're incredible. Tiger beer battered, panko crumbed, red curry natural, red nam jim and pickled cucumber as well. Of course, Pat, Ebony and all the crew will look after you there down at Bang Bang Cape Woolamai at Phillip Island. Beautiful part of the world.
You're listening to the Tennis Podcast with Scott Cooney on RSN 927. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match, yeah. But at night, it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on, and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be all right. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city.
In the city, dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat looking for a kitty.